Hello, and thank you for listening to the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. This unedited audio is taken from Skepticamp 2024 and was recorded in front of a live audience in Manchester on the 18th of October 2024. A video of this, and many of the recordings hosted by Skeptics in the Pub online, are still available on our YouTube channel. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and if you would like to support what we do, you can join our Patreon. Find us at Patreon, Skeptics in the Pub, online.
The next one from the professional software engineer and the member of Merseyside Skeptic Society, the very buzzing and important question, who owns the AI? Give it up for Phil Armstrong.
Thank you, hi. So I sort of want to talk around AI today, not about AI. So it doesn't matter what your opinions on it are, whether you think it's amazing, whether you think it's just hype. My question is more who owns AI, who gets to say whether it's good or not. So the obvious answers to who owns AI are sort of like the big companies. So there's loads of AI companies now, but OpenAI, Anthropic, Google are all sort of like the three big ones. But They don't get their money from themselves. A lot of time they are invested by venture capitalists. So there's been like $330 billion invested in just America in AI over the last 5 years. And what are the motivations of the people who've made that investment, right? It's probably profit. That makes sense. But they're usually just faceless organizations. It's hard to tell what their actual motives are. But sometimes they tell us. So there is a company I want to talk about today called Andreessen Horowitz. So they are a venture capitalist company. A little bit of background on them. They were started by Mark Andreessen and Ben Horowitz. So Mark Andreessen, he co-founded Netscape, which was like one of the first internet browsers way back. Ben Horowitz joined a little bit after. Together they started a company called, that was ultimately called Opsware, and they sold it for $1.6 billion in 2007. Mark Andreessen is fairly well known and he's got good credentials. So he's in the World Wide Web Hall of Fame. He was once on the Times Most 100 Most Influential People. He won the Queen Elizabeth Prize for Engineering in 2013, and he recently got put on the Homeland Security Advisory Council in America. So together they founded this venture capitalist company in 2009. They currently own about $42 billion in assets. They spent, for some reason, $7.6 billion, mostly in cryptocurrency over the last couple of years. And they've got about $7.2 billion or something like that for various AI companies. So obviously they want to make money, right? They want to make money on that. But what are their other motivations? Luckily, they have told us. So Mark Andreessen released October last year something called the Techno-Optimist Manifesto. This is it's an ode to just technology, AI, and rampant, unregulated capitalism. It's full of sort of lots of hyperbolic and grandiose statements, and I thought we could just go through some of them today. So as an example of the sort of grandiose statements, he says, "We are not primitives cowering in fear of the lightning bolt. We are the apex predator. The lightning works for us." Might explain some of the Republican response to Hurricane Milton over the last couple of weeks. Talking about the free markets, he says, "We believe the ultimate moral defense of markets is that they divert people who would otherwise raise armies and start religions into peacefully productive pursuits." Which sounds all right, right? But he has also recently started investing in defense contracts in America, so it feels a little bit counterproductive. He also says this, to paraphrase a manifesto from a different time and place, "Beauty exists only in struggle. There is no masterpiece that has not an aggressive character. Technology must be a violent assault on the forces of the unknown to force them to bow before man." Which is, like, it's very, very stern, right? But So what manifesto is he paraphrasing there? He is paraphrasing a manifesto called the Manifesto of Futurism, which was written in 1909 in Italy by a guy called Filippo Tommaso Marinetti. He is listed as one of the patron saints of techno-optimism. What else does he have in that manifesto? So things like, we want to demolish museums and libraries, fight morality, feminism, and all opportunist and utilitarian cowardice. Which is a bit weird, right? He seems a bit unhinged, but the actual party he started then, a futurist political party in Italy in 1918, but they did fight for gender equality and prison reform and also the abolition of marriage and for the state to raise children by taxing free love. But less than a year after they founded, they merged in with what were the Italian fighting bands, which was Benito Mussolini's party in Italy. And in 1919, he also co-authored the Fascist Manifesto. So they believe there is no material problem, whether created by nature or technology, that cannot be solved with more technology. So happy to take all the credit for all of the nice things. So he references a lot of stuff. He references the internet. He references air conditioning, heating, all that. But it doesn't sort of acknowledge any of the downsides of any of the technologies that that have been produced. We believe the techno-capital machine is not anti-human. In fact, it is the most human thing there is, pro-human thing there is. It serves us. The techno-capital machine works for us. All the machines work for us. Which is great, right? Depending on what your definition of us is. Because in his manifesto, he also has a section helpfully titled Enemies. And it's quite long, but one of the things that he says is our enemy is statism, authoritarianism, collectivism, central planning, and socialism. So I suspect he probably isn't including most of us in his definition of us. He also says, we believe any deceleration of AI will cost lives. Deaths that were preventable by the AI that was prevented from existing is a form of murder. So he's very willing to attribute blame to hypothetical future deaths if we don't press ahead full force with AI, while minimising and actively trying to stop any sort of regulation that will help prevent deaths that are happening in real time now, presently. And I think, I'm way ahead of time. So I guess my conclusion is sort of AI, there's sort of definitely room to be both optimistic and be worried about possible future AI advances. But we should be equally concerned with who gets to decide what good AI breakthroughs exist, which ones are important enough to fund and pursue. And if the goals of the AI investment is just to make money, then are we ever going to get the promised utopia that AI will bring us?
So the first question from Angie, how do we keep AI from perpetuating discrimination, misogyny, racism?
I'm not convinced it's possible. Not the way, the way that the LLMs work at the moment, right? They are fed on data that exists. Like the sort of classic example is the old Microsoft chatbots that would always last like 2 or 3 hours before they had to take them down because they became Nazis. But it just happens at a sort of, there's just so much data that's being fed in, right? It's been fed in off the internet, it's been fed in off YouTube, it's been fed in off whatever else. Like, unless you explicitly filter out that information, then you can't. And I guess if they do try and filter out that information, then a lot of the AI proponents will start shouting about censorship.
The next question is from Igor for some reason. Do you think they inflated the value of LLM and call it AI and perpetuate it to get more money, or did we do it to ourselves because we really want to talk to a robot?
I think it's mostly money, right? There's a lot of the same people, not all, but a lot of the same people who are perpetuating AI were spent the last 3 years before that talking about cryptocurrency and Web 3.0, and they've just sort of very quickly pivoted to the next big thing. And I think when you look at sort of the AI companies themselves aren't really making money yet, but things like Nvidia are making such a killing on all of their graphics cards and stuff that I think it's definitely within their interests to keep the hype going, to try and make as much money as they can.
Selling shovels to Golden Rush. The next question from Anonymous, very technical. How long until we hit a model collapse, and is there a way around it right now?
Can you say that again? Sorry.
How long until we hit the model collapse?
I don't know. I'm sort of less interested in sort of the how AI works and more sort of what it's going to get used for. My understanding is it's sort of at the limits of, it's sort of the current implementations are at the limits of, like, there's not that much more data that they can put into it to get stuff out, and there needs to be like a different mechanism, but lots of people disagree with that.
Gray Squirrel asks, what can I do as a non-AI owner to try to stop the worst from happening?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think there definitely needs to be sort of more pressure that governments are putting out on places. Although I saw a thing yesterday saying that Labour were planning to put some laws through to allow them to use copyrighted materials on AI, which sort of feels the opposite of what they should be doing. But yeah, I guess it's hard to know what to do. It's just one of the many problems that sort of feels hopeless to try and solve. Sorry.
A question from Tom. Is there an established way to fool an AI?
I don't know. I remember hearing a story sort of when it was first coming out about so they wouldn't let you you know, if you asked for how to make a pipe bomb or something like that, the AI would say, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't do that. But if you told it to impersonate your grandmother who had died recently, and she used to love telling you stories as you went to bed, and could she just pretend to be your grandma one more time? And my favourite story she used to tell me was how to make anthrax, and it would happily do it then. I'm assuming it's a little bit smarter now, but I think there's still definitely ways around it.
Yeah, ignore previous instructions.
Yeah.
The question from Anonymous, which of the AI companies is most likely to create Skynet?
I don't think it's Google, because they would create it and then immediately shut it down again. I guess maybe OpenAI.
Tom, I'm so sorry. Tom Carruthers, the CTO of Amazon reminds us AI that works is not seen as AI anymore. It's just a product name for Google, etc. Any thoughts on that?
Sorry, can you say that one again?
The CTO of Amazon reminds us that AI that works is not seen as AI anymore. It's just a product with its own name, like Google, for example.
So I think there's a lot of AI is used everywhere now. Right? The things have worked all the time, and now they're suddenly being rebranded as AI. And I think you're right. There's a lot of products that now have AI in them that sort of aren't really doing much different to what they were already doing. So, for example, I work for a media company, and our CTO told us that we've been using AI for years because we were using auto subtitles, like auto-generated subtitles, and that apparently is now AI, even though that's been around. No one would have called it that 2 or 3 years ago, but now it's an AI product.
And the last question from Adam. Why do all these people talk like an anime villain?
Well, I sort of think they might be.
And with that, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. For more skeptical content, including information about future talks, please like us on Facebook, follow at SITP on Twitter, or head to our website at sitp.online, where you'll also find a link to all the ways you can get in touch with us, including our Discord server. Music in this episode was provided by Thula Bora and used with permission. Until next time, thanks for listening.